Holy Spirit, thank you. We just thank you that you carry the words of life. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are wisdom personified. We just thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not a far, 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 far distance away, but the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's in the midst of us. The kingdom of heaven is within. We thank you, Lord, for mysteries being communicated today. We just thank you for a revelatory realm. We just thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Okay. So I've been taking communion a lot for quite a while now. And going forward, and the things that I'm sharing are the result of a cumulative effect of taking it. And if there's anywhere that we can find refuge, it's obviously in the Lord's sacrifice. And we tend to be really, really good at not doing the foundational things and reinventing the wheel, and we wonder why that wheel is square and not going anywhere. So I want to start with a question that I've asked for about, maybe 33, 34 years. It's something quite constant. And I'm sure the same question that most of you, I'd like to think all of you, but I've got to put some wiggle room in, is this. Is that what is the Lord going to say to me when I stand before him? Now, if you think that a lot, that's a good thing. Because we know that we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We hope. And it's something that I'm very aware of, what happens is that it's very important to note that the judgment seat of Christ is that sin has been judged. So I have to reiterate that because people tend to like to roll back into that default. But sin's been judged. But what about if you're chronically manipulative? What about if you're emotive on every level? What about, and then you go, I don't know where, I've done missions and because we've all had moments. Some of us had seasons of these things. And so what about, because I know for myself is that, and the Lord's very, very patient, very gracious with me, obviously. And he said to me, he said, Todd, your life has been characterized. Now this is a number of years ago now, thank you, Jesus. But he said, he talked to me about my delayed obedience and my partial obedience. And so, and that came straight from him in an encounter. And so I'm absolutely curious and constantly ask in themselves, what will the Lord say to me when I stand before him, before him one day? Who thinks that? Because I know I do. I don't want to go through all of this stuff and nothing. Eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow, we face thy maker. No. Most seriously, I don't want my life, I don't want a faux sacrifice, a faux sacrificial Clayton sort of like, sacrificial obedience, I want to know that what's happened in my life has actually counted for something to bring him glory. And I think that's a very, very healthy question to ask. And the thing is that we can deceive people, we can never deceive the Lord. That's interesting. So let's just get over ourselves and get healed. And so what I want to do is I want to talk about, so the context of what I'm going to share comes out of that question. And it's come up, it came up a few weeks ago. And so let's put up 1 John. 1 John's a very, very interesting epistle. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So some of you are going, I could little less torment, please. That would be good. Bit less of that. And so it's interesting because it says we have boldness. We can have boldness in the day of judgment. As you're actually not sort of like whatever it looks like. I mean, you know, one of my favorite lines of inquiry or a hobby, I love hearing about near-death experiences where people go to heaven and are sent back. I love hearing that. And people going at a great rate. Some people it seems almost instant. Some people it seems a bit of a distance. But you don't want to be going up there and going, I wonder what they're going to say. You want to be bold. You want to be confident. As you're being reunited with the center of the universe, you've been reunited with your maker. And so I believe the key is, as he is, so are we in this world. And I want to break that down and what that looks like, because we talk about following Jesus, all right? But that still involves a lot of interpretation. Some people do terrible things in the name of Jesus. So when you say, I'm following Jesus, that still involves, comes through our filters, and it still can get muddied with emotive agendas. And so, and I know for me is that the unredeemed side of Todd and the glory and Jesus as the glory of the Father, they're not that compatible. Is I've tried to follow the Lord and I've done an absolute rubbish job at it. Serious. And so, you know, when you interpret it, you know, interpret it is sort of, I don't want to do that, but I do this. And then you find out when you do this, nothing works without that. And we're very selective and we defer this and we embrace that. And so we have this like this self-defensive structural algorithm that tries to keep the Lord as far away as possible when it threatens our sovereignty, but we want the benefits of walking with him. And so I believe that the key to confidence or boldness in the day of judgment, and as he is, so are we in this world. Yes, we need to follow the Lord, but that's still incomplete because it's got some, doesn't address spatial realities. You're like, wow, how did you get that out of that? Well, basically is that we need to focus on what already is. We need to focus on abiding, dwelling, and remaining in him. And we do that by looking, focusing, meditating, engaging. Involves yielding, surrendering, joining, which engages building. Because what happens is this, over and over and over, it says, in him, be clothed with him, put on Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. And that is such a paradigm shift, because we have such a singularity consciousness that from birth, the closest we have to connection would be maybe getting fed by our mothers. And then we grow up and then we've got to work things out for ourselves. And the Lord says, no. I've got a better way. It says those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. As he is, so are we in the world. And the Lord says, I need you to abide. You don't have to work it all out. Just do it. If we try and work out what that looks like, it's trying to work out what's happening in the promised land from the wrong side of the Jordan. Is we're called to abide, again and again, abide, continue, remain, and dwell. See, this is an overflow of communion. Because Jesus says, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you abide in me. And I abide in you. And this is the most simple, yet invasive and challenging thing we're ever called to do. If we pull ourselves out of Him and try and work it out, we will fail and we will live an orphan reality. And so us actually abiding, continuing, remaining and dwelling is actually leaning into what already is. If we don't get that right, we get none of it right. And so it's a constant process that occupies a perpetual now. You never graduate from that. And so one of the things is that, well, just case in point this morning, and when those announcements just didn't fall out of the air, is you've got, you know, at the moment, I have to read a meme. Just indulge me. So there's been a lot of fear mongering coming from the WHO. No. The WHO, no. This is someone put it, I don't know what's going on with this new variant, but I went out and got my 11th dose of Pfizer and Moderna just in case. My kids have returned to their quarantine pods and we will once again be triple masking in the house. This is not the time to let your guard down. Now, we're talking, there is an almost predictable, constant rollout of what's taking place. If you want something really interesting and find out what's really going on, follow the Epstein case in court. Because what happens, you know when things go wrong in the circus? Do you know what the things go wrong and you distract them, they get the clowns out. Rolling out the clowns. Bring out the clowns. So they're bringing out the clowns. But we don't want to know what happened in that court case. I hope she lives through it, to be honest. But we're talking so many things taking place. See, here's the deal, is that we're so used to, our default is this, everything is external, and Jesus says, no. Paul says the mystic secret, hidden from ages and generations, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you don't get that, you're externally trying to follow Jesus. Hit, miss. I wonder how I'm going to go on the big day. As He is, so are we in the world. And it's not working it out, it's abiding. Can only speculate so much. It's abiding, remaining, continuing, and dwelling. And so with all these things happening, all of a sudden, as a leadership team, the Lord says, you know how you think you're busier than anyone you've ever met? We're going to go after business, primary production, education, blah, 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 government. After I did that first rally, the second rally was like, But I tell you, no, seriously, is that what happens, Bugs Bunny, what happens is that you abide in Him and He starts to give you the strategy, the wisdom and the grace. Something takes place in the Spirit. It's not a disassociative thing. You go into that inner world in Him. As He is, so are we in the world. And it talks about having boldness in the day of judgment. As I said before, in ourselves, we are hardwired to live outside of Him. So one of the things with communion is that there are days, I've had a few days where I've just like, sort of like, you know, just wake up, coffee, bang, into the day, don't get to bed late at night. There's only been a couple of days I probably haven't had communion. If you don't remember to take communion, it is not your fault. The fault is when you procrastinate it because you actually knew to take it and you didn't do it. But I've just, because one of the good things about communion, it is free. It costs the Lord everything, but it's free to us. And what happens, it's a major connector to the life and the supernatural life of God. And what I've found is this, is that as if I just do it, see, you can't speculate around revelation. You can't start speculating and postulating and then revelation just happens. If you just abide in the Lord and say, Lord, you and I are one, and you're in me and I'm in you, what happens is revelation starts to percolate. And it's like, there's a time to cry out to the Lord. But if you're outside of him in your consciousness, it feels like drawing the long bow, like a Hail Mary pass at the end of the game. But if you're in him and you cry out, it's there. The Lord, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what we tend to do is we want God to help us and protect us in the good stuff, but we tend to keep him at arm's length when it comes to structural things. It's really, really interesting, because if we get this right, everything is the resultant overflow. And like for me, one of the things I have been graced to learn over the years is prayer. And I don't pray anything like I used to pray. Most of my prayer is hanging out with the Lord. And then if I make it my highest priority, just hang out with him, you know, I found myself, oh gosh, man, this was 5 years ago, thereabouts. And the Lord said, you don't hang out with me. You don't spend time with me. And I'm like, I'm always praying. Like, what an accusation, Lord. And he said, you're always praying to get a word to preach. You know, hang out with me. That's not fair. You're accusing me of something you called me to do. And this is what he said to me. He said, if you just hang out with me and make that your highest goal, I'll give you everything you need when you need it. And I went, all right. And he's being utterly faithful. Utterly faithful. And so with communion, there's that sense of, see, on my own, I'm a disaster. I am a disaster. I was not created to do things for God in isolation or distance from him. See, I want to, the things I'm addressing now today, let's just kick theology to the curb. Theology can be a ruse. Well, I believe this and I believe this, but we don't practice it. What I'm talking about is the realm of the heart, the subconscious realm. You only are what you are in your subconscious. Everything else is window dressing. You only are what you are when there's no one around and you're not conscious of behaving or acting. And so this union with the Lord, abiding in him, it takes time to cultivate that default setting. And then what happens is breakthrough isn't hard because you're already in the provider. Miracles, etc. And so his greatest thing, you know, like what my wife and I have just had this out for years, and she's right and the Lord's right. Mary and Martha. Martha was complaining. Mary wasn't helping out with the prep for the hospitality. And maybe Mary was lazy. She had no appreciation of community gardens. But Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and he says, she's chosen the good thing and it will not be taken away from her. You know, spending time cultivating the fact you're already in union with him will never be taken away, but you can neglect it. See, what happens is that repetition brings revelation. Repetition's powerful. But what we got like this, we see repetition as monotony. We don't understand it. You guys all know, when you're leading worship, when we're up here leading worship, it's a very, very nuanced exercise, because we have to, where a song is going, is this soaring higher? And you come around and you sing the same chorus or bridge, but that by the time you've sung it the third time from the first time, you're singing it from another place. And so the same is with repetition, thinking about scripture, thinking about the Lord. What happens is that we're you know, you got the foundation, who is Jesus. No one can lay any other foundation which is other than Jesus. And so what happens, we make sure that our life is actually on that foundation. And then as we're thinking about the Lord and meditating and abiding and yielding and focusing on him, he starts to put up the walls. And then he starts to put on the roof. Then he starts to put in the windows, etc. It's not just monotony. There's levels of repetition, but we do it from a different place. That's how you build. You don't go halfway through a house and go, boring, next thing, let's just go into the sand and the wood, hay, stubble. And so what we have, and I'm gonna blow it up in a second, but outside of in Him, we're orphans. See, Jesus doesn't go, I'm off here in a distance and I'm a distant savior, but you believe in me, you stay over there and I'll be here, because not that I've created the distance, that's what you've created. And what happens, Jesus says, have all of me and give me all of you. Because when we try and do that like that, now He is patient. He is patient. But what happens, we create the distance and we wonder why we're in existential crises and problems. See, at the moment, there's so many things happening so quickly. Like you go, oh, I think I might get in my car and drive somewhere. New announcement, you can't. I think I might go and see. So, new announcement, you can't. I've never known a time like it. And it's got nothing to do whether you believe it or not, or think it's trustworthy or credible. It's happening. And what happens now, we realize we really cannot trust and build solely in the natural world. Everything is being shaken. Everything is going through fire. And we know that we're going to stand before the Lord, and I don't want to go through this and fail. And the guarantee is we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And it doesn't come by speculating and doing your best. It comes by abiding. It comes by yielding. It comes by remaining and dwelling in Him. It's such a paradigm. Most people go, yep, I know that. No, we don't until we do it. We've got to just do it. This is why communion is so powerful. It's an external physical act that connects us to the most deepest, richest spiritual truths that were physically enacted out. Do this often. This is why, if nothing else, I want you guys to become completely addicted to, enamored with, grateful for, engaging in constantly is the Lord's sacrifice. Because it actually is a door. It is a door that leads to more. So our singularity consciousness needs to be spliced to allow Him to be engrafted into our consciousness. That takes time. That's why the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, because there has to be some incisions made and some grafting. And some of us just go, yeah, sword going in. Maybe you need to be you need to be julienned. Some of you need to be diced. For all the married people, some of you need to be grated. The Lord really uses my spouse. They really grate me. And if you resist everything, you'll be minced. Hopefully not. Whoever falls on this rock will be broken. And whoever the rock falls on will be minced. Okay. And so, because what happens, see, this is the thing. I want to blow out the whole religious paradigm. I do. Blow it up. And the Lord says in Isaiah 55, He says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. And the Lord says to yield into Him, we lean into His thoughts. What's amazing about the Word of the Lord, or the Word of God, or the person of God, is this. He doesn't replace you. You can only exist and be fruitful in Him. It's not like you become some sort of avatar robot. You maintain all the redemptive attributes of your personality, and your will starts to flow with His, and we start to realize that He says, I know the plans I have for you. Good plans to prosper you, give you future and hope. And so in this season, like never before, because we're talking about communion and the blood of Jesus and the broken body, is that we all have an inner rebel. It's called sin. And then we yield to it, and then it's a whole nother different law. You go like this, you go, oh, when we get, the theology, it just becomes so doctrinal and so theological, and it leads to a level of mental assent and satisfaction with no praxis. For example, gravity is a strong law, but when you get a plane going down a tarmac fast enough with the design of the wings, you have aerodynamic uplift. Gravity's still there, but you're tapping into a superior law. I know that if I didn't focus on the Lord and walk with Him and exercise disciplines, in 3 months, I'd be a completely different person and not a good one. I've tried it. It's real. I still believed in the Lord, but I didn't practice anything. So gravity still exists. And at the end of the day, we can have semantics, but it comes by the fruits, you should know them. That's how it comes down to. And so for me, and being raised an only child, could you get more singularity consciousness than that? And what happens is the war to allow the word. See, God's not going to enforce Himself for me, but the war to allow His word to penetrate me and bring change and transformation is huge. Because things are taking place in the Word, and the Lord says, I can effortlessly make you live above that. And so one of the things is that I've traveled a lot. I mean, probably the most crazy, concentrated period of time was within 10 days of each other, I was standing at the top of Machu Picchu. I was in Cusco. Then right after that, I was at Buckingham Palace, Westminster Abbey, the Arc de Triomphe, the Eiffel Tower, and Versailles. And you know what? Basically, you're just overloaded. You're on top of the Eiffel Tower, and you're like, what was it like? You really want to know? Couldn't take it in. My senses couldn't take it in. Been all through Asia and the Americas and, you know, seen so much. People go, you must miss traveling. I actually don't. I'll tell you why. Because the real world is the inner world. It's the real world. People go, you must miss traveling. I don't. And when it opens up, I'll enjoy it. But unless it's connected to an inner reality, it's still that external locus of control, external stimuli that I am depending on to actually get me above the snake line. That inner world, and it's actually hanging out with the Lord. It's not fantasy. It's actually engaging in Him, and He takes you to that inner world of the Spirit. And so what happens is that we've got to be delivered of our association with Jesus as a religious one. Jesus did not come to establish religion. He says, I came to give you life and life abundantly. And what happens if we associate Him with the establishment of religious behavior, we don't know Him. Because He came to give us life, and life encompasses everything we've experienced and have yet to experience. Just put up Colossians, please. So we remain and abide in Him, in whom are hidden, Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So when you abide in the Lord, and you actually make a connection, whole dimensions, inner worlds open up. And those inner worlds are so real, they just sit and color and influence your effect, your feelings. And you're not sort of up and down like a roller coaster emotionally, avoiding pressure and getting into pleasure. is that what happens is that you start to keep looking to him and realize, Jesus, you and I are one. I don't exist without you. You know, the more I do this, I go into these encounters where the Lord manifested to me when I was a kid. And kids don't have structures like grown-ups. You try and be a grown-up to Jesus, he will laugh at you. Sort of like, you know, you're sort of like subconsciously carrying your equity and all your achievements. You watch the Lord go, can we drop the act, please? Unless you become like one of these little ones. But so we can have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. But that takes it takes intense application. Yeah, let's put up John chapter 6, verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. So again, what this morning, if I'm going to distill it down to a statement, is this: we have to get delivered from our subconscious looking always externally. We have to. We've got to lay aside Western tradition that clearly is not compatible with Near Eastern thought. It's not compatible. Otherwise, we'd see more biblical results. We would. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what we tend to do, this is our interpretation, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's true. So now, what I find interesting is that because if we cultivate, it takes work to cultivate a default. And so it's not sort of like this. I am not saying we've got to pray more. Oh my gosh, praying outside of him, forget it. You see people when they're really prayerful, I'm praying, you know, it's like, ugh. That weird soulish intensity, a month later they're in a downer. See, the Lord's saying, you're in me already. So constantly commit and to looking to me. You know what's interesting is it's got a spatial reality to it. You know, like, who's ever had a dream where they're looking at someone in a scene and going, oh my gosh, and they realize it's them? Who's ever had that? You're looking at something. See, that's a spatial reality. You're looking at something, but it's really, see, our looking to the Lord should not be putting him in a distance. Our looking to the Lord should see him. Paul, the Apostle Paul says, I labor till Christ is fully formed in you. This is not theology. It's actually prescriptive. And it's to engage in praxis, so there's a default setting. I'm very interested. It says, have faith in God. Hang on. So I've got to attach my faith to God, or is in God a place? Because believing in God is a lot easier than believing outside of God. Because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the God type of substance. You want to see impossible, is you lean, you don't have time to argue it. See, logic and reasoning in isolation are so powerless and impotent, they don't work. And yet we exalt it. Again, I'm not talking psychology or theology, I'm talking about praxis. The point I want to make is this, is that we've got to go after this, because the accumulative effect of abiding in him, especially through communion, things start to change. And I'm just blown away how all of these announcements this morning, we weren't just sitting around just going, we got nothing to do, eh? Let's fast track the old burnout. Let's fast track the old burnout in the name of the Lord. And so we can go out with honor. All right, let's do that. No. It's like that realm opens up because he provides the grace and the energy, the wisdom and the insight. And then you just, like, it was just opening up in the spirit. It's like we were saying what already is. That's actually being in the Lord. But we first have to practice in him, because we've all done that out of him. I believe in Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. He's over there. He's over there. He's down the road. He's down the road. No. This is the paradigm. Is it fancy you allowing God to splice into your subconscious world to make an incision so his life is engrafted? That's called fellowship. That's called communion. Koinonia. But it's prescriptive. And this is not about, oh, that was a good preach, that was revelatory. It's not worth anything unless we do it. And that takes commitment. Because I'll tell you what, I don't want to, I've begged God for things. I've got in his face and I was outside of him and he was over there. But when you're constantly, Lord, it says in Corinthians that my body was created for you and you were created for my body. He who is joined to the Lord as one spirit with him, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And going through that process actually starts to shine a light on deadly thoughts, toxic thoughts, strongholds, and it starts to, but it's got to be engaged on a prescriptive level. It says you build on the rock, not the sand. The only rock I've seen in Scripture is Jesus. But we have to go after it prescriptively, because it's not like I got no interest in just sort of like, good preach. What it means nothing. It means nothing. But if we get, so this is why I believe the Lord wants us to focus on especially the blood of Jesus and communion until it gets inside of us. That's what, who's ever heard of Kenneth Hagin? Kenneth Hagin, amazing man of God. They would say he's a father of the faith movement, or, but he did it tough. He traded out of nothingness. He actually should have died at a young age. He actually died and went to hell. He had a malformed heart and he spent time in his bed, maybe 2 years, maybe meditating on the word of God. And the Lord says, you must believe you've received it. But you know, he's really good at is he would go to a church and he'd preach the same message until people got it, but in different ways. Because you're actually saying the same message, but in a different way to different people in a different place at a different time until it actually drops into your subconscious. And so the last point I want to make is who we're abiding in. Now, I want to give you an idea. Now, I want to challenge something that could be traditional and render things powerless. So let's look at the book of Revelation. Don't put it up yet. And what happens, we go, well, the book of Revelation is about the Antichrist, it's about the world. Well, what about this? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Oh, it was a Sunday. Huh? Whew, it's good to know it was on a Sunday. He says, come up here and I must show the things that must shortly take place. But it was on a Sunday. That's the Lord's day. So we build this whole teaching. It's got to be, you know, there's whole sports people from the guy in Chariots of Fire to famous rugby players. You know, they won't do stuff on a Sunday. So Sunday is the day. Well, what if you're a shift worker or in retail? Well, then you're going to hell. Sorry. Just refuse the jab. You have plenty of time. Anyway, so straight there. So I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. What about in Hebrews 4 where it says, therefore there remains a day to enter his rest? Whoa. But it was a Sunday. What if that's not what it was saying? What if it was about I was in the Spirit and I was in the eternal realm where there's a realm of rest? And you go, apocalypse, oh my gosh, I'm going to read about the Antichrist. There's actually no Antichrist in the book of Revelation. And so we get obsessed with, I mean, hey, look, I'll say this, Henry Kissinger is still alive. Yeah, but, you know, look at an interview, you'll laugh. All right. Yeah. So it says that It says here, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's what the book's about. And the word is apocalypsis. And you go, the end, destruction, that's it. Everything's done. No, it means actually, the word apocalypsis means disclosure, appearing, coming, to lighten, to manifest, to be revealed, an unveiling or disclosing of a reality that previously had not been perceived. You're going, whoa, 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 whoa. In other words, this, we're seeing Jesus in a whole new light. Because if we see just the Jesus that walked in Galilee, in the regions, all through the Holy Land, then instantly we've placed him somewhere where we are not. And the apocalypse is actually the unveiling. It's actually the manifestation of the creator of all light. Now, we're gonna cut this short. I'll go into it a little bit more in the afternoon. But basically, in Philippians, don't put it up, in Philippians it says this, is that God humbled himself to becoming a man, humbling himself to becoming a servant, even dying on a cross. He actually surrendered to the will of the Father and God humbled himself. And then it says this, don't put it up, I'll just read from it, 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we don't look at anyone according to the natural perspective or the flesh. Even though we knew Jesus according to the flesh, we do not know him this way any longer. Paul just says it. We need the Gospels, but we have to see outside of that as well. This is why God needed a genius called Paul to explain what in Christ realities were. We are not going through this season giving it our best shot. We'll give fight, flight, exhaustion, despair. It's in him. In him, through him, for him, unto him. This is why the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's the thing, is that when we meditate on the Lord, it's not like he takes residence in us. We're already seated in heavenly places and he's already in us. Meditating and knowing that we're in union already activates what already is. It doesn't create it. So we're in the wrong channel. Loosed. We're in the wrong channel. And we're in the wrong channel. We're wondering why God's not moving in our life. But we're already in him. And then it says, Psalm 110 verse 1 and 2, the Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh said to Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of your enemies. Hallelujah. So the eternal God lives on the inside of you. But it's like it's not real unless we practice abiding. Unless we practice remaining. Unless we actively dwell. The God of the universe lives inside of you. It takes time for our subconscious to go from a me to an us. That's where we're going to see the change. When we're so abiding in him and it goes from a me, Lord, I want to do this, will you bless it? Lord, I want this, will you give it? As opposed to, I'm already in him. I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. But it needs to be cultivated. And it's not. This is not a theological statement. It's not a doctrinal statement. It's prescriptive. It needs praxis, practical application. See, God's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what your intellectual or education or theological persuasion is. Just abide in him. Remain in him continually. You know, by taking communion sometimes up to 3 times a day, I just find the Lord just talks to me and he's not out there. And he says, I want to tell you some more things. I'm not saying the Lord's lonely, but he is chatty. People go, I want to hear from God more. Yeah, so do I. Be in him. But you can't put you first and have him in there. He says, look, I'm here, take all of me. And we do our best to go, I have some of this, the left hand, the chin, nice strong jawline, all there, here. Doesn't work. See, that's not how God works. Happened to Israel, and they said, all right, you want us to be a kingdom of priests? All right, amazing benefits, forget not those. But I will forget the cost. Moses, go and get the message for us. We're going to stay out here and we're going to do everything he says. That's what happens. I want you to grab your communion. I'm going to tell you why the book of Revelation is the apocalypse of Jesus. The book of Revelation is the apocalypse of Jesus. And this is who lives inside of you. This is who you're connected with. This is how he wants you to live. This is the pathway to sons of God. This is the pathway to sons of God. We're going to put Revelation chapter 1. Holy. So this is who lives on the inside of you now. This ain't picket fence churchianity. You look what's happening in the world. Right now, there is a press conference about online bullying on social media sites. It's just a ruse for censorship and controlling the narrative. What about robust discussion? Dissenting opinions? This stuff is happening. The kingdom of heaven is not a dissociative opiate. It is engaging with hyper-reality, hyper-life, hyper-energy. The multiverse, come up here and I'll show you the things that must shortly take place. The sea of glass, the rainbows, the angels, the seals, the trumpets. I saw the Lord sitting on a white horse, whose name is Faithful and True. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was the Word of God. We've got to get delivered from the rubbish that doesn't work. And then blaming God for our deception. Good boy. All right. So when we are abiding in him, this is who we are abiding in, and we need him unveiled in us. Remember, it says the glory revealed in us. Here, we can put it back. Then I turned to see a voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. This is who you live in. He had in his right hand the seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I want you to read with me from now on. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. This is who lives on the inside of us. And the Lord says, If you remain in me, my words remain in you. Ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you abide in me. We have confidence in the day of judgment. As he is, so are we in this world. You can't theorize our way into oneness. It's just constantly doing the abiding. Constantly doing the abiding. I feel rubbish today. I don't feel breakthrough. Look to him. Abide in him. Think about him. Thank him. Well, today I feel a little bit better. It's easier. You know, abiding is a restful state. It's not fervent prayer. It's that constantly going, wow, my body is not for me, it's for the Lord. And the Lord is for my body. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Let's pray and then we'll have communion. Lord, you're awesome. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, you're the door that leads to the sheepfold. Jesus, you are the heavenly places. Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was and is to come. Jesus, you are the Word of God that holds everything together by the word of your power. Jesus, you are the express image and substance of the Father. Jesus, you are our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, you are the faithful and true witness. Jesus, you are the firstborn amongst many brethren. And Jesus, you are the altogether lovely one and the desire of the nations. Lord, bless this commune to our body in your name. Amen.